I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error. Go stronger.
Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. I bet you're expecting me to say I'm too blessed to be stressed. No, I'm going to say I'm too inspired to be tired, too protected to be dejected, and I'm too renewed to be subdued. Why do I say that? Because I'm in love with Jesus Christ, and as your spiritual fitness trainer, I try to inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. Today's a special show. Jesse's out of town, but we have Father Joe Fessio, founder of Ignatius Press, to come to speak about the new book they're publishing, From the Depths of Our Hearts. It's a Cardinal Seurat and Pope Benedict Emeritus XVI on the issue of celibacy, and it's bringing a lot of controversy, so you won't want to miss that. But before we get to Father Fessio, I've got a Fulton Sheen story. I've got a Mother Teresa story. I think you're going to enjoy all of this. And I got great news, just real quick. Well, I'll tell you the news after the gospel, because this is the best news. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. We're going to read the daily reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. It's short. Jesus entered the synagogue. There was a man there who had a withered hand. They watched Jesus closely to see if he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. He said to the man with the withered hand, "Come up here before us." Then he said to the Pharisees, "Is it lawful to do good, or on the Sabbath rather than to do evil, to save life rather than to destroy it?" But they remained silent, looking around at them with anger and grieved at their hardness of heart. Jesus said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out immediately, took counsel with the Herodians against him to put him to death. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? He said this. This was a powerful one. He said he looked around with anger, our Lord said. I looked around with anger. Why was he angry at them? Because he saw the hypocrisy in them. They were trying to catch Jesus. They wanted him out. So if he would cure on the Sabbath, hey, we got something to nail him on. But you see, what Jesus did is he asked them questions. And I love it because in my book, How to Share Your Faith with Anyone, I use this as an example of how to share your faith. Ask questions. That's sharing your faith. And Jesus did that just now. And so I would just say, what's the message for us? Is it lawful for us to do good on Sunday? Yes, of course. Some people would say, I can't even lift a finger. No, we can help. That's a day of rest, but it's also a day to do charitable works, visit the sick, help to feed the hungry, things like that. So that's our gospel for today. Now, I want to bring in Fulton Sheen. Full Sheen ahead. If you're watching us on YouTube, you see a new book that just came out. My Uncle Fulton Sheen from Ignatius Press. And on page 65, I'm going to get my quote. There's a chapter on the three to get married by Bishop Sheen. Check this out, Mom and Dad, about marriage. And share this with your young friends and family members. Bishop Sheen said in Three to Get Married, my favorite book on marriage, he said, "The basic error of humankind has been to assume that only two are needed for love. You and me, or society and me, or humanity and me." Really? Bishop Sheen says, it takes three. Self, other selves, and God, and you, and me, and God. Love is triune, or it dies. It requires three virtues. Ready? Faith, hope, and charity, with the intertwined purifying it and regenerating one another. Remember what Bishop Sheen said? Your love for your wife will not last because you're strong. Your love will last because you have the power to renew it. That's why Fulton Sheen in Three to Get Married encourages people to renew their marriage vows. Hey, I wanted to quote two popes from the history of our Catholic Church because of what we're dealing with today in the church, in a sense of we want clarity with charity. Pope Felix III in 475 said, "Not to oppose error is to approve it. Not to defend truth is to suppress it. And indeed, to neglect to confound evil men when we can do it is no less a sin than to encourage them." You remember yesterday's show, I said, get involved in your pro-life work of the church. And is there enough evidence that you're a pro-life Catholic? I hope so. And then we're dealing with scandals a lot in the church right now, right? What did Pope St. Gregory the Great say? It's better that scandals be exposed than for truth to be suppressed. So I always quote that when people say to me, why are you talking about the sexual abuses? And, you know, why can't we just forget that? Well, the reason we can't forget it is because we need to clean up our church right now with the sexual abuses. The Cardinal McCarrick situation, we just got word that Father Bishop Strickland from Tyler, Texas, was with Pope Francis just this week, asking again, when is this report going to come out on McCarrick so that we can clean out the rest of the people who are involved in this sexual abuse cases? And the Holy Father said it's coming soon. So we hope that that will happen very soon. Hey, breaking news. President Trump will be the first president to attend the March for Life. Are you kidding me? Why do I say that he's the most pro-life president in my lifetime? There's a good example. And so he's going to be there. But listen to what he says. And this is why I encourage people, when they go to vote, vote with your Catholic faith. He said, you know, last year he did a surprise video link at the conference. And here's what he said to everybody at the March for Life via a video link, that every life is worth protecting and that he will veto any legislation that crosses his desk that weakens in protection of human life. I say this because it's the facts. He is the most pro-life president we've ever had. And that's why I hope and pray that you know, within a year we're going to be voting again. And I just want to encourage everyone to vote with their Catholic faith because that's what we need today. We need to restore the sacredness of life. And I believe, like I said yesterday, Roe versus Wade 47 years ago, we've been trying to overthrow Roe versus Wade, and I think we're at that point with President Trump picking the Supreme Court nominees that we are going to get there. So I want to encourage you to be a part of that link to make the protection of life our number one issue. As Pope Francis has said recently to the American bishops last week, we talked about that. I also want to encourage you to get a couple books. Fulton Sheen's book, My Uncle Fulton Sheen, go to Ignatius Press. That's going to be a good book for you to purchase. I also want to give you a story right now. Put your seatbelt on. You know I'm a storyteller. How many of you like Mother Teresa, St. Mother Teresa? I hope everybody says, me! Have you heard this story? It's taken from her book, My Secret is Simple, I Pray. St. Teresa of Calcutta was invited to Russia to receive a humanitarian award. This was in the 1980s. She reluctantly accepted, not because she was looking for human praise or worldly honors, but because she had tried for years to open a house for her missionaries of charity in Russia and could never get the obtained permission from the communist government. So this was before the fall in the 80s. She thought God was opening a door with this invitation. So she went to Moscow, where the Soviets held a lavish ceremony for her with world news organizations present. Check this out. Mother Teresa gave her acceptance speech. She noticed during her lecture that the communist interpreter was deliberately mistranslating her words. Check this out. He was turning her words into an attack on the United States, Western capitalism, imperialism, and warmongering. Mother Teresa stopped her speech. Talk about little meek Mother Teresa. She stopped her speech, walked across the stage. At 4'11", she's shaking her finger at the interpreter. Kip Chess is amazing. She told him, stop, stop. That's not what I said. Either you translate my words correctly or I'll walk out of here. I'll leave here now and this will be over. He got the message. Oh, boy, did he. I love Mother. She went back to the podium to finish her speech. When it was over, one of the sisters asked, "Mother, mother, how did you know? You don't speak Russian." Mother replied, "No, I don't speak Russian, but the Holy Spirit does." I hope that story is one you want to tell your kids tonight at the dinner table, because I'll tell you, that sure inspired me. And I tell that story often. I'm going to be sharing that story with a bunch of little kids at a Catholic school next week when I talk about vocations for the kids. I also want to recommend that if you haven't got The Day Is Now Far Spent by Cardinal Seurat from Ignatius, you'll want to pick that book up, because we're going to be talking to Father Fessio in just a few minutes about the book From the Depths of Our Hearts that's causing so much controversy in the church with Cardinal Seurat and Pope Benedict XVI Emeritus. And we're going to talk about the celibacy issue in the Catholic Church. And why is that such a big issue? You'll find out why. I also want to remind you, the Adoramus Conference, Father Fessio will be here to the Sacred Heart Chapel on the 14th of March. It's a Saturday. It's an all-day seminar on the spirituality of the Triduum, the three days of Easter, the Easter season. And so you'll want to come. There's two more experts coming, Dr. Anthony Lillis, a good friend of mine, and also Chris Cartons. They're all experts in liturgy. If you want to join us, just call the 877-526-2151 or go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org to get on board for this Adoramus Conference. I think you're going to find out you won't regret it, because you're going to learn more about falling deep in love with Jesus Christ through the liturgy. Up next, Father Joe Fessio, founder of Ignatius Press, talk about a new book here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Don't turn that dial. Tell your friends to tune in. You're going to enjoy this. We'll be right back.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is Jesse Romero. Join me on a pilgrimage of faith and discovery to Poland for the 100th year anniversary of the birth of St. John Paul II in May of 2020. Together we'll experience the faith, beauty, and culture of Poland and become imbibed with the spirit of John Paul II. We'll visit the town of Wadowice, where John Paul was born, and the city of Krakow, where he was ordained and later became bishop. We'll also travel to Jasna Góra and visit Our Lady of Częstochowa, and we'll have a chance to venerate the original image of the merciful Jesus at St. Faustina's Convent and the city that St. Maximilian Kolbe built for the Immaculata. Finally, we'll pay a visit to Auschwitz, where St. Maximilian Kolbe was martyred. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to worship and discover your own faith at places where St. John Paul II grew in his own love for our Lord. For more information or how to join this pilgrimage, visit my website at jesseromero.com.
Genesis 1:27 says, "God created man in his own image. Male and female he created them." According to Pope St. John the 23rd, it is not true that some human beings are by nature superior and others inferior. All human beings are equal in their natural dignity. May God help us to look upon everyone as a person created in his image and likeness, and treat everyone the same without favoritism or prejudice.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse's out of town until next week, but we have Father Fessio to talk about a new book and also to talk about the Adoramus Conference that's coming out in March, March 14th, here at the Sacred Heart Chapel in downtown Covina. Father Fessio, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Hey, even though Jesse's not here. Terry, is this video too or just audio?
Yeah, this is video too. Yeah, so I can see.
Oh, it's video too. Oh, yeah. My gosh.
We're on Facebook,
I was going to say, using the old expression, I've got a face made for radio.
Yeah, that's my line, Father. Yeah,
but
that for me.
But my lighting in here isn't too good, so I'm in the shadow on one side. Is that okay?
Yeah, you're fine. Father,
right.
I just want to bring to your attention that a lot of our listeners are, you know, Ignatius Press buyers. I've been promoting the new book by Fulton Sheen, my uncle Fulton Sheen, and I'm probably your biggest salesman when it comes to promoting Ignatius Press books because I've been so well formed by many of your books. And so one of the books that's coming out, and I'd like to set us straight, we've talked a little bit about this in the last 10 days, it's called From the Depths of Our Hearts, and it's a book that Cardinal Robert Seurat and Pope Benedict XVI Emeritus have written together, and I have a timesheet here from LifeSite News telling us all the things that have gone on with that, but I'd rather ask you, what the heck's going on? Why is there so much controversy about this book?
Terry, first let's do one thing. Yeah. What's really important is what's in this book.
Yeah, sure.
It's a beautiful book with an excellent chapter by Pope Benedict on the theology of the priesthood and the exegesis of the Old Testament, which helps us understand the priesthood. And then it's got a beautiful chapter by Cardinal Seurat on the pastoral consequences of celibacy or removing celibacy and also how it affects the church and our idea of the priest. So, and it's such a good book, Terry. I was over the weekend with a friend of mine, Father Bob McTague, who's also like you, a radio talk show host. You know, he's a little younger than I am, but he's in his 50s anyway. He read the book and he said, I want to go back and start my priesthood over again.
Wow.
It moved him so much. So let's start with that. The book is a wonderful book. It's a book not just for this moment in the church. It's a book for history in the church. Why did they write it?
Yeah.
Both Benedict and Cardinal Seurat were concerned about the media surrounding the Amazon Synod, which is promoting a major change in the church's tradition about celibacy for priests.
Yeah.
And so they had these exchanges. They decided to write a book. They kept it kind of quiet until it was published. January 13th was the publication date for the French edition. But on the 12th, you know, the Figaro magazine, a newspaper in France, got wind of it, and they published this, some excerpts from it. And here's what I think has aroused so much opposition to it.
Okay.
You've got two great figures of the church, a former pope, who is one of the greatest theologians of our time, and a present cardinal, who's also an extraordinarily good theologian and intellectual. They are both writing very powerfully, very strongly, and very persuasively that this should not be changed. Well, there's people in the church that don't want to hear that, and they especially don't want to hear it from people in authority. When I say authority, Benedict no longer has magisterial authority, but he has personal authority as to who he is as a theologian. And of course, likewise, Seurat does not speak on behalf of the Pope, but he does speak as someone who understands the church and is a great writer and a great thinker. So, I mean, the short answer to your question, Terry, is that people who want the Pope to change the church's 2,000-year teaching and tradition on celibacy do not want a book out which opposes that change, and especially a book by two authors like these.
Got it. Well, now, Father Fessio, I have the book, The Day Is Now Far Spent. I completed that book. I've actually had you interviewed about that book. But on page 64, Cardinal Seurat talks about celibacy.
You got it right here.
Okay. Hey, go to page 64.
All right.
We didn't prep this. He just happened to have it on his hand.
No, I do. Well, I'll tell you in a second why I have it. Go ahead.
Okay, because there's a chapter on the crisis in the priesthood. He ties a lot of it into realizing that celibacy manifests the spousal gift of a priest when he becomes a Catholic priest. And he also quotes John Paul II, 1992 document, Benedict XVI. And he just really covers the beautiful teaching that the church has had on celibacy. Could you enlighten us a little bit? Why, is that also included in the new book?
It is. But let me go to page 65, the next page, where Carlos Seurat is – you don't have to turn it. This is the opposite page. Mm-hmm. Where Carlos Seurat is quoting John Paul II. And then he says he, that is John Paul II, affirms authoritatively that priestly celibacy is not a mere ecclesiastical discipline – but a manifestation of the sacramental representation of Christ the priest.
Wow.
On the contrary, it paves the way for a rediscovery by the Eastern churches of the profound and radical ontological suitability of celibacy for the priestly state. Ontological suitability. So it's not just some mere discipline.
Right.
You know,
they say that a lot. Yeah, that's all.
Deeply dogmatic, yes. And by the way, one reason the book is on my desk handy here, Terry, is that Joseph Pierce and Vivian Duda of Ignatius Press and I have a weekly YouTube video, a book review.
Good, let's talk about it.
We've taken various books,
uh-huh.
But when we got to this book, and we usually spend three or four sessions, you know, a month on a book. We got to this book, we're already on session 12, and we haven't finished it. Terry, as you know,
I agree.
He's so profound, he's so clear, and he's not just speaking his opinion, he's always quoting the fathers of the church, the great saints, the present popes, and so on. Oh, he's really good.
Yeah.
He's outstanding.
I agree with you. And you know, his comment about it's time for us to rediscover the sacred, I think that also includes the priesthood and understanding celibacy in a very profound way. But, Father, doesn't he also quote Pope John Paul II's, like back on page 65 at the bottom of it, He's talking about an apostolic letter that the Holy Father wrote back on March 25th, 1992. And he just talks so beautifully about the priesthood and celibacy. And then in the middle of the page, Pope Benedict XVI in 2007, he's reminding us again of priestly celibacy. So this has been going on even in the early 60s, John the 22nd. You guys, John the 23rd, you quoted him in this book. This is not something new. The church has got a real, I mean, on the practical level, this is all your supernatural stuff. But Father Fessio, if you were married, you would probably have a dozen children, okay? I hope so. Of course.
That's what I said. I wanted to get married, and I wanted to have a lot of children.
Yeah,
I wanted to take them into the grocery stores and collect all the comments that we made against me. And then write a book about it, didn't you? But I never got that chance.
But the practical aspect of it is that you've given yourself to Christ and his church, and you've been available for not just people like ourselves, myself. You married me. You've baptized my kids. I mean, you've been available 24/7. And on the practical level of priestly celibacy, how are we going to afford, if we were a church, to provide financially, and also on the practical level, you're divided between your wife, like St. Paul talks about. So my question is, tell me.
Okay, well, Terry, that's the least important question to ask, but we'll get to it.
All right, go ahead.
The more important question is, what did Jesus do? Why did Jesus give himself entirely to his bride, the church, was not married?
Right.
And every priest participates in the priesthood of Christ. He's our model.
Yes.
And not only our model, when we say Mass, it's not our words, it's Christ's words.
Amen.
When I say, this is my body, it's not Joe Fessio's body.
Nope.
It's the body of Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ, you know, crucified and risen. So that's the central thing. But likewise, Terry,
as you know,
as a married man,
being
married and having children is a full-time commitment.
Big time.
Your wife has to come first. Your children have to come first.
Yep.
And more important than your radio show.
That's right.
More important than your real estate.
Yep.
More important than anything else you do.
Yep.
And so it really is a demeaning of marriage to say that, you can be married and be a priest too, because after all, marriage is not that big a deal, right? You just get married. No, marriage is a full commitment also. And obviously there are exceptions, but we can't make exceptions in the rules. But because I feel bad, Terry, a lot of things I do like this right now.
Yeah.
I don't have to be a priest to be able to talk to you about theology and about a book. But the point is, it's part of my priestly life.
Amen.
And it's part of my Mass every day. And so I have to try and live my life day. And that's why I was wearing my clerics.
Amen.
And I don't put on a lower shirt, you know, when the day is over. I keep my clerics on. Why? Because I'm still a priest.
Thank you.
You're right. But it does have practical things, too. And let me give you another even more important practical thing, because, you know, in this book, from the depths of our hearts by Pope Benedict and Carlos Serra. Carlos Serra says he would not be a priest today if it weren't for celibacy. Why? Because he was a little barefoot kid in a village in Guinea, West Africa, and his parents, before he was, his parents were baptized when he was two, but why did his parents become Catholics? Because these priests came to their little village and established a church and a school.
Yep, French one.
And these people knew, this isn't some village virus probatus, you know, a mature man. they made a priest where he could say mass for us. No, this is someone who gave his life for us.
Right.
Left this country, has no wife, has no children. He's here for us. And that was what brought his parents into the church. And that's what was the source of his vocation. So he's very ardent in pleading that we do not make an exception for the Amazon, because those people need priests that model and that represent the full gift that Christ gives to his spouse at church. And if there aren't enough priests, let's get some there from other countries.
Exactly. You know? Father, people can get that book by ordering it from Ignatius Press even now, right? It's going to come out like next month.
They can. Okay. They can.
And they'll get it in a couple of weeks. Is that the game
plan? Well, mid-February, February 15th, 16th, we hope it'll be in the warehouse. So
okay. Good. So go to Ignatius Press and pick up the book. I want to also talk more about the book, but I also want to bring up the Adoramus Conference that Father started, 25 years ago. Maybe I'm a few years off, but somewhere back then he started a organization that helped people understand the liturgy, because the old story is the way you worship is the way you believe. When we come back from the break, Father Fessy, I'm going to talk a little bit more and ask you some more questions about the book From the Depths of Our Hearts. Cardinal Serra and Benedict XVI Emeritus, and we want to share this with as many people as possible. So I want to encourage you, our listener, take clips of this show and use your social media power to get the word out. And I want to encourage every single person listening to go to Ignatius Press, order the book now, okay? So in a couple weeks, it gets in the warehouse, they'll ship it to you. You'll be the first guy on the block to get the book. And again, why do I say this is important? Well, let's just face it. Where's the church going? Where its leaders take them. And priests are people who are leading us to God. And that's why every Thursday night here at the Sacred Heart Chapel in Covina, we pray with our priests for 2 hours every Thursday. And if you want to join us, come and join us each Thursday to do that. Hey, I hear the music. We're going to come right back with Father Joe Fessio, founder of Ignatius Press. I got a couple questions about people who are actually very disappointed you're publishing this book. What? Why would they be disappointed? Well, we're going to get into that and much more after we take a quick break on Virgin Most Powerful, the Terry and Jesse Show. Tell your friends at the break to tune in. We'll be right back.
This is Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio. This March, VMPR, in association with the Catholic Resource Center, will be hosting a special conference for the Adoramus Society. Adoramus at the Triduum, a conference on the spirituality of the Triduum liturgies, featuring speakers Father Joseph Fessio, Dr. Anthony Lillis, and Christopher Carstens, addressing such topics as developing a liturgical spirituality, the spirituality of Holy Thursday, the spirituality of Good Friday, and the spirituality of the Paschal Vigil and Easter season. It all takes place March 14th, 2020, at the historic Sacred Heart Chapel at 381 West Center Street, Covina, California, 91723. You can register online at vmpr.org or call now at 877-526-2151 to reserve your seat today for Adoramus at the Triduum.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Actually, Jesse's out of town, but I'm here with Father Fessy. I'm getting flooded with questions about the book, The Depths of Our Hearts, From the Depths of Our Hearts by Cardinal Seurat and Pope Benedict XVI, published by Ignatius Press. And I think this question is dealing with the Anglicans who have converted to the Catholic faith. I think they first came in 1980, and then they now have priests right here at our Sacred Heart Chapel, who many of them are married as an exception. But obviously, you probably know that these priests cannot remarry if their wife passed away before they died. But Father, what do you say about some of the exceptions? That's the question people are asking.
Okay, I will answer that question. But first, Perry, twice you've told people to go to Ignatius Press to buy the book.
Yeah.
It's Ignatius.com.
Ah, thank you. I'm going to write that down.
Ignatius.com. And also, Terry, I know you do this, but I want to emphasize it. The book is not in bookstores yet because they won't get it until we get it.
Right, of course.
But ordinarily, I want to urge all your listeners, Terry, to patronize their local Catholic bookstore if they have one. That's the place to go. There's people there, just like Terry and Jesse, doing this for the sake of the church. They're not getting rich on it.
Nope.
In fact, some of them are making real sacrifices. So help support your Catholic bookstore. And if that doesn't work, you don't have one nearby, Ignatius.com.
Okay.
And if you insist, you can go to the Leviathan if you wish. But, okay, Terry, about this exception.
Yeah, that's what they're asking.
There's a lot to say on it. I don't want to take up the whole thing, but first of all, Cardinal Seurat quotes four books by Ignatius Press. He doesn't quote many books except he quotes Benedict, of course, those are by Ignatius Press too, but he quotes a book by Father Cocchini called The Apostolic Origins of Priestly Celibacy, another book by Cardinal Stickler called The Case for Clerical Celibacy, and another one by Father Stephen Hyde on the same topic. And all of these books show and demonstrate that from the very earliest church, from the apostles onward, priests had to be either celibate, that is unmarried, or continent.
Right.
Their wives had to agree that if they became priests or bishops, that they would have to live as brother and sister. That's the unbroken tradition of the church. It's different in the Eastern Church because in 692 there was a council in Trullo, it's called, where there was a forged document, was attributed to Paphnutius, who was very highly regarded. And they also did fake news on an African council.
Wow.
And so they thought they were allowing something that was traditional, but it was a total change. And so I have to say it, God bless all those priests there, but it was a mistake. And the Latin Rite Catholic Church never made that mistake. So ideally what would happen is if priests from the Lutheran Church or especially the Anglican Church, Episcopal Church,
right,
come into the Catholic Church and want to become reordained because their priesthood is not valid in the Catholic Church.
That's right.
Not valid at all anywhere, actually.
Right.
That they should agree to live a life of continence. There have been exceptions made to that. It's become more widespread now, but they are exceptions. And Cardinal Seurat has a whole section in his chapter about these exceptions and why the Amazon is not an exception.
Right.
The fact that you have a smaller number of priests in a new missionary area, that's not an exception. It happens all the time. So, yes, there are exceptions. They should tend towards disappearing. Like you say, if an Anglican priest who's been reordained or ordained for the first time is a Catholic priest and his wife dies, he cannot remarry and still be a priest. So the idea here is we want to move towards not just the ideal, but to what is the norm of law and the ontological connection between the priesthood and the priesthood of Christ.
Well said. That you said that quickly, Father. Okay, let me ask you this. On the 17th of January, Cardinal Seurat said he had met with Pope Benedict Emeritus over the priestly celibacy book, and that there was no misunderstanding between us. Okay, what's all that about?
Well, Terry, I have here on Monday, the 13th of January, there was a tweet.
That's right.
And you know, tweets to me are not great sources of information, but the Rome correspondent for America Magazine, Gerard O'Connell, tweeted this. Benedict XVI did not co-author the book on priesthood and celibacy with Carlos Seurat. Story coming soon on American Magazine. Okay. That was at 3:12 p.m. on January 13th. That's at least when it shows up on the tweet here. Well, that was what, you know, aroused the storm, it seems to me. And I actually emailed that tweet to Archbishop Genswein, who is both Pope Benedict's personal secretary, and he is the master of the papal household for Pope Francis. So he's got two bosses, so
right.
to speak. And there was a lot of confusion out there. And one of the things that happened was that Archbishop Genswein also tweeted something saying, Pope Benedict hadn't seen the cover. He didn't agree to write a book with two signatures. This is a misunderstanding. Well, it turns out that if you look at the history of this book, Pope Benedict did see the cover, did help correct the proofs before they went to the press of the French publisher, and approved everything that was in the book. And so he, by any definition of the term, he is an author or a co-author of the book. In any event, Carlos Seurat, of course, is very upset by this. And on Tuesday morning, he issued a communique outlining the history of the book, including quoting from his letters to Benedict and Benedict's letters to him.
Right.
And then even that didn't quell all the concerns. And so on last Friday, which would have been the 17th, he tweeted, "I'm going to go see Pope Benedict tonight." And then after the meeting, he said, "We had a wonderful meeting, and there's no misunderstanding between us." Well, obviously, there's a lot of confusion, Terry, in the few days that happened after an event. So we can understand that. But Carlos Seurat is writing very carefully, and he's solemnly affirming what he's saying. And so I have to believe, both from the book itself, which I've read now twice, once in French and once in English, and from Carlos Seurat's accounting of the origin of the book and quoting from letters from Benedict in his account, that this book, there's no misunderstanding. The two of them wanted to co-author this book. They thought it was important for the church, and that's why they entitled it not "From the Depth of My Heart" by Carlos Seurat, but "From the Depth of Our Hearts."
Amen.
And Terry, here's something I'm going to reveal for the first time on your show, okay?
Good.
No one else has heard this.
All right.
I have in my hands here, I've got the contract that we have with the French publisher. And the contract is a license for a book by Benedict XVI and Carlos Seurat. Who are the authors of this book? Okay, that's on clause one of this contract. On clause four, it says, "The publisher," that's us, Ignatius Press, "undertakes to print the name of the authors on the jacket or cover and on the title page." So we're obliged by our contract to print the names of the authors, plural, on the dust jacket and on the cover.
Good. Father Fessio, thank you for sharing that. I know Pope Francis has said in December that he supports priestly celibacy, okay? So, but it just seems like there's people under him that are trying to, you know, get non-support for this book. And one of them is an interesting fellow. He's an atheist, a Scafari. He's 95 years old. I think he's had 7 interviews with Pope Francis. And this was after a lot of this went on. And in his interview, which I don't really value too much, it's in LifeSite News. Maybe I shouldn't even be bringing it up, but he's trying to make a point that he's saying that Seurat really is undermining Pope Francis, which I don't think that's the case. But again, it's another case where they're trying to make bad news about this book and saying that this is undermining Francis, which I don't think is true. But what do you take about this interview, Father? Not much?
Well, first of all, I'm trying to find another piece of paper here. Oh, here it is.
Okay.
Because this is where, in this book,
yeah,
Carlos Serra quotes Pope Francis.
Yes.
Last year, 2019, who himself is quoting John Paul II, no, Paul VI, and Francis says, "I would rather give my life than change the law on celibacy."
Wow.
That's a quote from, he's re-quoting from Paul, but then Pope Francis continues, "Personally, I think the celibacy is a gift for the church. Second, I don't agree with allowing optional celibacy, no."
So, pretty clear.
First of all, the Pope has not made a declaration as a result of the Amazon Synod, called a post-synodal document. Mm-hmm. He's not done it yet. Pope Francis has said many, many times he wants dialogue. He wants people not to be afraid to express their thoughts and their opinions, mm-hmm. you know, publicly. So this fits perfectly into what he's asked for. He wants opinions. And are we simply going to listen to Twitter?
Nope.
Or the liberal media, especially the secular media?
Yeah.
Or are we going to listen to people like Pope Benedict and Carlos Serra on this issue? That's the question.
Great point, Father. I'd like to shift to another topic, if you're okay with that. And that is, you're coming to the Sacred Heart Chapel on the 14th of March, along with several others, to speak about the liturgy. That's something that's, you know, again, it's sacred. And I think a lot of people today have missed the aspect of the liturgy from the sacredness of the liturgy. And so you've decided with several others to talk about the spirituality of the Triduum, the three-day Triduum at Easter time. And so could you share with our listeners why, first of all, I want to get a background of how Adoramus got together and what does Adoramus mean? And, you know, I think it's 25 years. I was involved with you in the beginning, but I want, for the benefit of our listeners, when we come back, I'd like to talk and give a good plug about people supporting Adoramus and also coming to the conference that's going to take place here at the Sacred Heart Chapel. So I'm going to have you hold on for a minute before that, and then we'll talk about the upcoming conference regarding the liturgy. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse will be back, but I got big news for everybody. Jesse's going to be interviewed on the History Channel, which is a secular station, on his book on spiritual warfare, and he's going to be talking to the folks there, and he's going to give a plug for Virgin Most Powerful Radio. So I just want you to pray for him, because this could really launch more listeners for us through the interview on the History Channel. Hey, I hear the music. When we come back, we'll ask Father Fessio regarding the Adoramus organization that he started. And I see many people are still calling, but we're not going to take your calls. I'm going to let Father explain a little bit more why the liturgy is so important for every single person listening right now. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We'll be right back after a quick break. Welcome, Daniel. You're on the line. What's on your mind, brother?
Hi, I just wanted to share a testimony about Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I had a buddy at work who, you know, he's a lukewarm Catholic guy, and I wanted him to start listening to the Terry and Jesse Show, so I kept telling him to download the app, and he kept putting me off. So one day, I grabbed his phone, and I downloaded the app for him. I went on vacation, and you know, I kept telling him to listen to it. He was kind of put me off. I came back from vacation. He comes to my cubicle, and he says to me, "Hey, man, I've been listening to Terry and Jesse's show, and it's great. And it's made a big impact in his life. The guy, he's going to weekly adoration a couple times a week. He goes to the Mass in the morning. Mm-hmm. He's an on-fire Catholic, and he promotes the Terry and Jesse show and the Virgin Most Powerful Radio."
Daniel, what a testimony, and I want to encourage our listeners to get those cards by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and do what Daniel's doing. Go out and spread the faith by inviting people to listen to Virgin Most Powerful. Daniel, thanks for your testimony, brother. God love you.
You're welcome.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse's out of town. I want to thank everybody. You just heard a commercial about Real Estate for Life. They just gave us a $5,000 check because you, our listener, ended up using their services to buy or sell a house. So I want to say thank you. And all you folks who have been donating cars, that's funding us here at Virgin Most Powerful. So I want to publicly on the air say thank you so much for that. Father Fessio is here with us. We're going to shift gears to a Adoramus conference that's coming up to the Sacred Heart Chapel on the 14th of March. Father Fessio, tell us a little bit about why you started Adoramus and the kind of the genesis of it all.
Well, it's a long story, Terry. I'll try and give you a short version, but I will also offer to your listeners an exclusive quote from a letter to me from Cardinal Ratzinger.
Okay? Wow.
I wrote to him on April 19th, 1995, mm-hmm. About liturgical matters.
Yes.
That date sticks in my mind because exactly 10 years later, on April 19th, 2005, he became Pope.
That's right.
But in his response to me, he says, I believe that we need a new liturgical movement, which, of course, must absolutely be inspired and directed in the right manner. For this reason, your idea of a liturgical journal, as you outlined it, seems to me exactly to correspond to the needs of this hour. I can only encourage you to go forward vigorously with this project and thus set out in the direction that Father Harrison, who had given a talk that I, you know, has described. Anyway, so that was the encouragement that came, and his letter to me was, what date was that? That was May 18th, 1995, and that's when we began the Adoramus Bulletin.
Wonderful, wonderful. And so, Father, the focus of the bulletin is to help us understand the liturgy. Is that a fair statement? And understand
That's how a fair statement, yeah.
So what is it that you're going to do when you come to the Sacred Heart Chapel on the 14th, with Dr. Lillis and others, what are they going to get when they come? Are you going to talk? I have on the flyer about liturgical spirituality. I mean, give us
yes.
a little teaser. No, don't give.
I will. But before, I want to have a little fun, Terry. I just wanted, this has never happened before.
Okay.
I want to just quote that sentence to you in the original German. Okay. It's so beautiful.
Okay.
He says, deswegen scheint mir ihr Gedanke einer liturgischen Zeitschrift, wie sie ihn andeuten, genau den Bedürfnissen dieser Stunde zu entsprechen. Punkt. Okay,
that's very clear now.
Yeah, it's good. He writes very clear German.
Yes. I'm joking, Father. So tell us about the conference.
All right. Well, Terry, yeah. I'm coming to this conference because you asked me.
I did.
And I want to support you. And, of course, I want to support Adoramus. And, of course, I don't want to do very much work. So I'm going to recycle one of my old talks.
Sure.
That I've given a lot last year, but your folks haven't heard it. It has to do with prayer and the Psalms as a liturgical formation for us in prayer, and especially, and there's something amazing that most people don't know, is that Jesus prayed the Psalms at the Last Supper, the night before he was crucified.
Tell us.
And we know exactly which Psalms he prayed. I'll tell you when I get there.
I think that's a teaser and a half. How do you do it? You just call 877-526-2151 or go online to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Father, you also, I think you're the one who told me to bring Anthony Lillis. I've known Dr. Lillis for 35 years, but tell us why you wanted Anthony, Dr. Lillis to come.
I don't think I suggested anything. It might have been.
Chris probably did it.
You know, I forget a lot of things, Terry.
Yeah, no.
What's your last name?
Yeah,
anyway.
It doesn't matter.
But if I because I didn't even know Anthony Lillis at the time this thing was planned.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I knew of him.
Yeah.
And I know him now.
Yeah.
And I think he's an extraordinary man who's a great man of the church who did a wonderful job at St. John's Seminary there in Camarillo. And now he's the academic dean here at St. Patrick's Seminary in Menlo Park.
There's a lot about him. He is very good on spirituality, and he'll be up there. And then can you tell us a little bit about Chris in his role with Adoramus?
Never met him, but he's the new editor. I mean, Helen Hitchcock.
Oh, God bless.
Was
me.
The founding editor of Adoramus Bull, and Helen Hitchcock, talk about a mulier fortis, a strong woman of the church. she was it. I mean, her passing left a great gaping hole in the life of the church. I think.
I agree
in fact,
with you.
In her basement, I always said that was all the information you could ever want to know about anything happening in the Catholic Church. You could find in her basement. She had files and file cabinets galore down there.
Yeah.
A wonderful woman. Anyway, when she died, we had to replace her. Mm-hmm. And so we heard about Chris Karstens, and he had a great resume and wanted to do it. So he was hired as a replacement to
Helen.
Helen.
Very good. And this conference, again, Father Fessio, is on the 14th of March. We will have Holy Mass. And we've heard the term Ad Orientem, many people on our show. Our chapel is set up for having Mass where your back is, they say, you're not facing the people. Can you share a little information on why that is still legitimate today? Because many people go, well, I thought that was like before Vatican II. Can you enlighten
us? Yes, before Vatican II. It begins with Jesus, and it begins with the apostles and the whole church. I mean, until 1969, there was never, ever a tradition, a custom of the priest not facing the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the priest and the people were facing together. That custom was changed only in around 1520 by a man named Martin Luther.
Yep.
But he changed it when he left the Catholic Church. There's a beautiful drama to me in the Mass, Terry.
Tell us.
Where at the beginning of the Mass, the priest who represents God to the people proclaims God's word and tries to explain it in a homily. And therefore, it's appropriate that the priest should face the people. It's a didactic mode. It's teaching. It's preaching.
Sure.
And also, there's a back and forth. There's a psalm response. It's antiphonal. Okay? But once the offerings come up, the priest takes the offerings, the bread and wine, which represent the lives of the people, including himself. And now he's representing not God to the people, but the people to God. And therefore, the priest, along with the people, is facing the Lord to make that offering, which becomes his body and blood on the altar, the consecration, which is not the most important part of the Mass. The most important part of the Mass is when the priest then turns and faces the people as the bridegroom, giving the body of the bridegroom into the womb of the bride, the church, the spouse. And so it's not turning your back to the people. I like to say that, that's like saying General Patton turned his back on the troops when he was rushing through Germany, No, he was leading the troops.
Exactly.
And the priest is leading the people to the Lord. And Easter, of course, is where the sun rises. And that's a reminder, a symbol of the risen Lord.
Well said. This conference is going to take place at the historic Sacred Heart Chapel in Covina, California. And if you'd like to go, I would encourage you to go. I'll be there. My wife will be there. And you'll learn a lot about your Catholic faith in the liturgy, because we have a statement in Vatican II that says the Eucharist is the source and summit of the Christian life. And when you think about only 20% of the Catholics even showing up on Sunday Mass, I think we have a crisis. And in my humble opinion, the crisis is people don't understand the Mass. And I think that Adoramus is a great vehicle to do that. Father, the website for Adoramus, is it adoramus.com?
No, .org.
.org, okay. Adoramus.org, you can find out more about that. Get on board with their newsletters. Father, I'm going to ask for your priestly blessing before we leave. Could you do that for us?
I will, Terry. I want to ask God's blessing on you, Jesse, everybody that makes this show possible, all those who listen, because this is the way the Word becomes flesh in our lives, by hearing the Word. And unless people preach, it won't be heard. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, descendat super vos et maniat semper. God bless you,
Amen.
Terry.
Thanks, Father.
All right.
God love you. That was Father Fessio from Ignatius Press. And again, get the book from a bookstore, local Catholic bookstore. Father likes to support the local stores, and I appreciate that because we ran a bookstore for years, like 25 years, and it's not easy. I hope today's show really touched you as much as it touched me to understand how important celibacy is in the Catholic priesthood and also the liturgy. And again, if you want to come to the conference for the Adoramus Conference, just call us at 877-526-2151 or go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and join us. And you monthly donors, you're getting recordings of all these talks. That's because you support us each month. If you'd like to become a monthly donor, go ahead and call and go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call us at 877-526-2151. Hey, let's get those five stones in. What do we need to do to be a good holy Catholic and spreading our faith? We need to get the confession often. We need to read our Bible. We need to pray our rosary every day. Remember, Our Lady said souls are going to hell because no one's there to pray for them. We also need to visit the Blessed Sacrament. I would encourage you at least a weekly holy hour. I get a holy hour myself, but I say that it's important for everyone to make visits because you need to understand the value of being in the presence of Christ, his body, blood, soul, and divinity. And then here at the Terry and Jesse Show, what do we say? What state should we be living in? The state of grace. What state shouldn't we be living in? State of mortal sin. Not even for a second. You got to get out of that. And again, for those who have been supporting us, our two-year anniversary this month, it's just come in. I thank you from the bottom of my heart because we couldn't do Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Some of the Catholic stations around the country are asking us to put in 10-minute spots on Fulton Sheen. So, you know, we couldn't produce that without you supporting us. And that's why I say full sheen ahead every time. Why? Because we think his material is so appropriate for today's church. And as I mentioned, Ignatius Press just came out with a new book, My Uncle Fulton Sheen. It's Joan Sheen Cunningham, the niece of Fulton Sheen. She's 90-some years old, and she talks about growing up with Bishop Sheen as her uncle. Fantastic material. This book will really, really inspire you. So go to Ignatius Press to get that. Also, tomorrow I'm going to have Father Charles Murr on. We're going to be talking about the sacraments of the Catholic Church. And he's very articulate, as you know. And again, why do we want this? We want to catechize all of us. We want to teach the faith because we want to get you to heaven. How do we do that? By living in union with Jesus Christ and his bride, the Church. Continue to pray for Holy Mother of the Church. This is Thursday. Every Thursday commemorates the priesthood. It was appropriate that we talked about the priesthood today. And we pray 2 hours a day, 2 hours on Thursdays for our priests, bishops, and the Holy Father. I encourage you to pray for the Church, pray for the holiness of the Church, pray that we can be enlightened by the gospel of Jesus Christ and get to heaven. Remember, life is short, eternity is forever. And I thank you for allowing us to help people fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the Church. May God richly bless you. And tomorrow, the same time, we'll have Father Charles Murr talking about the sacraments of the Catholic Church and how they affect you in a most profound way. Full sheen ahead here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. God love you and your family.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.